I love coming here every week, being with you guys. Special bunch of folks. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's eye. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you'll open up the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. Oh, oh, but when I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow.
Yes, I will.
Anywhere you'll open up the door. Love shine through me in the night. Oh yeah. Say star shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, just shine through me, Lord. Shine through.
Well, that's more than just a pretty song. That's a statement of fact. He can take what's wrong and make it right. He can take your sins and wash them white as snow. He can take your addictions and break the chains and set you free. He can come to those who have lost a loved one, and he can be a comforter in a way that no one else can. He can still multiply the loaves and the fishes. He can still part Red Seas. He can still deliver you from the hell hole that you're in. You see, he's only limited by our lack of expectation. He's only limited by those who won't give him a place or an opportunity to show up and show out. You see, he likes to show out. And I'm saying that reverently. I'm not being anyway. You see, the Lord's eyes roam to and fro throughout the whole earth among his people. This is his word. Looking for someone that will let him show himself mighty and strong on their behalf. He's looking among his people for someone that will dare say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I yield to you. Lord, I am obedient to what your word has told me to do in my situation. Now I'm trusting you. You know what the word trust means? The acronym T-R-U-S-T, to rely upon someone totally. And we need to get to a place that we rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ totally. Not just with words from our mouth, but that we have an expectation in our heart and an expectancy. There's an old song years ago that says, if I forget it, Skeeter, help me. It says, I anticipate the inevitable, supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. The word miracle in present day tends to scare some people off. You missed a good chance to say amen. The word miracle or miraculous tends to cause some people to step back and to be afraid. And I understand that. I understand that there are wolves in lambs' clothing that have come and made a show and a spectacle. I understand the false prophets. I understand those that are ravaging wolves among sheep that prey upon people. I understand the reluctancy to just open up to some. But I do not understand the reluctancy to open up to an expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he'll never forsake you. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. When we come to him instead of mankind, when we come to the Lord, when we come into his presence, we have audience with him. You know, when he died on that cross and the veil in the temple was rent, torn from top to bottom, so that all of us could come boldly into his presence with our needs and our petitions and let them be made known unto God. I get tired. I might not ought to go here, but I'm fixing to. I get tired of people misapplying, halfway quoting scripture to make it fit what they want it to say. I'll give you a couple of examples. How many times have you heard it said, oh, honey, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you? That's not what the word says. The word says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But he'll only flee from you if you're submitted to him. You in and of yourself do not have the power nor the ability to intimidate the devil at all. Nor the strength to stand against him. I get tired. Now I'm really going to get in trouble now. Of preachers and singers. Well, we need a set of tires for our bus, and we got to have the motor overhauled, and it's going to be $15,000. You know, the Lord says to let your need be made known, so we're letting you know. Again, that's not what the Word says. The Word says, let your needs and requests be made known unto God. God is capable. He is able to speak to someone on the other side of the United States to send a check for however much is needed to that person in need of whatever it is that they need. And that's the way God works, because he wants to bless those that heard him and were obedient to write the check and mail it, and he wants to bless the one that's out there with the need, trusting God. And in both circumstances and in both situations, God will get the glory. You'll get the pleasure. How in the world did I get off on that, Skeeter? I guess because God really didn't give me anything to preach tonight. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, we're going to wind up over in chapter 7, but I want to give you an overview. Did you realize that oftentimes when we hear a reference made to the Sermon on the Mount, our minds immediately go to the Beatitudes, and certainly they are part of the Sermon on the Mount. But the Sermon on the Mount actually covers chapters 5, 6, and 7. This is all one sit down. And I want to call your attention to something. In chapter 5, the first two verses are the only words written in black. The rest of chapter 5, all of chapter 6, and all of chapter 7, with the exception of the last two verses, are written in red. Only the last two verses of chapter 7 are written in black. You say, what does that mean? Well, the words written in red is when Jesus is talking. So, with that understanding, I want to preach the Sermon on the Mount tonight. Ushers, lock the doors. Not really. I want to give you an overview. We're going to get over in chapter 7, and I'll call your attention to a few things. But I want to read chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to give you an overview of the rest of the three chapters till I get to where I want to read. But the first two verses says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Who came to him? His disciples came to him. That's you and me. We're his disciples. Verse 2 says, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Then you have the Beatitudes. Then you see down in verse 13 where he begins to talk about you're the salt and the light of the world. Jesus is actually the light. We're the reflection of Jesus in the world, that our light is to shine before men, that our Father in heaven may be glorified. And then he talks to them about he didn't come to do away with the law. He has come to fulfill the law. And then on down in verse 21, he begins to talk about murder actually beginning in our hearts. Then he talks about in verse 27, adultery. Then he talks about marriage and the sacred institution and the binding that it is. And then in verse 33, he deals with his disciples on how he feels about making vows or oaths. Verse 38, he talks to us about going the second mile, going the extra distance. Then he talks in verse 43 on down about loving your enemies. Then he talks over at the top of the first verse of chapter 6 about doing good to please God and not man. Then in verse 5, what's known to become the Lord's Prayer, he talks about the model prayer. Verse 16, he begins to deal with fasting. He begins to, in verse 19, talk to us about where we lay up our treasures. Then he talks to us in verse 22 about the lamp of our body and our eye. He talks in verse 24 about no man can serve two masters. Deals with us in verse 25 about don't worry. Talks to us about our worry and our stress. Then he starts out in chapter 7 about do not judge. Warns us about judging, and what you measure you judge with, you shall be judged. Then he talks to us in verse 7 about asking and seeking and knocking and calling upon him and depending upon him. And then in verse 13, he starts talking about entering in the narrow way, the narrow gate. Few that find it. Talks about broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter therein. Then he talks to us about what I dealt with a moment ago about you'll know false prophets by their fruits. You'll be able to judge people in general. Not that we're to judge the person, but we're to judge the fruits of their lives to know where they stand. Then for those that don't become a disciple of his, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Then he begins to talk about building a house upon a rock. It's important that we touched upon each of those topics, and I've just given you an outline, and I want to challenge everyone under the sound of my voice to begin tomorrow or tonight to study chapter 5, 6, and 7. Let it become a Bible study to you. Oftentimes people don't know how to go about studying the Bible. They want to, but I'm giving you one sermon that the Lord gave his disciples in one setting on the side of that mountain that addresses many specific issues. And I want to encourage you to, as you read these different topics, to weigh them against your life, to judge yourself. What needs to be dealt with in your life, deal with it with God's help. You know, don't forget that we as Christians were supposed to become like Jesus. It's a process. The Holy Spirit forming in us convictions of things not to do and things to do. It's an ongoing process. Long as you have breath in this body and live upon this earth, contrary to what some of you may believe, you'll never be perfect. Now, for those of you that thought you were, I'm sorry. But then, the last two verses of chapter 7, listen to this. Jesus talking, just finished with his Sermon on the Mount. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want you to recognize and embrace, chew upon, and to digest those three chapters and the authority that are in his words will resonate through his written word in this book into your lives to help you change, to help you become like him. But here's what the Lord wanted me to challenge you with tonight, and I'll be very brief. I know the saints are playing on TV, but the saints ain't playing in here. We dead serious. Verse 24, chapter 7. Therefore, what does that mean? That's what it's there for. My wife's sitting there looking at me. Therefore, I'm going to read slow. I don't need to get hooked on phonics. I'm going to read slow on purpose. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings, what sayings? All of the ones that we just covered in a quick overview. All of chapter 5, 6, and 7. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. There's a key. Underline that. And does them. I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. Who built the house? The wise man built the house on a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Who built that house? The foolish man built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. There's a common denominator here in this story among the wise man and the foolish man. And it was simply this. They both heard. Churches of all denominations across America, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, and every day of the week that they're having revivals, whenever, it doesn't matter, but every time they assemble, unfortunately, there's a much larger percentage of people that are hearers of the word, but not doers. I assure you that most of the people in this place tonight, if they never learned another thing from the Word of God, know enough of the Word of God, if they would just apply it to their lives, use it, stand up on it, they could live a victorious life. Now, we should never get comfortable with where we're at, because then we become stagnant. There ain't no fish in a stagnant pond. They're already dead. That's why the Lord wants rivers of living water to flow in and out of us. We want to have life. We want to have life. So I'm challenging you tonight to be a doer of the Word of God. Now, the one thing the Lord spoke to me very clearly as I was sitting up here a while ago was this. A lot of you in here believe in God for something. You pray, and you pray, and you pray. Sometimes you're praying amiss. You're not believing or expecting. You're not really praying in faith. You're just praying, and he warns us. He says, when you pray, don't pray as the heathen, for they think they're heard for their much speaking, but rather when you pray, believe. Way too often, we're just praying words. There's no expectation in our prayers. There's no anticipation. There's no faith. There's no expectancy. That's why Jesus couldn't do any miracles in his own hometown, is because they didn't have any faith. This was just Joseph's son. And here's what he spoke to me. Straight out of God's word. Faith without works is dead. That's a word to somebody here tonight, probably many somebodies, whether it's you're trying to quit a habit or you're trying to, whatever the case is, are you doing what you can do? Are you doing what God has told you to do from His word about how to resolve your situation? Are you being a doer of His word, or are you thinking yourself something special? I'm not saying that in judgment. I'm not saying that harshly. I'm saying that because I want you to see your situation change, and God is wanting you to get up from where you are, be a doer of His word, find out what His word has to say about your situation. Maybe you don't have any friends. Maybe you're just an old grump, Scrooge, sourpuss. You don't even like to look at yourself in the mirror. This is what the word says about how to have friends. To have friends, show yourself friendly. Quit walking around being an old prude. Like the old saying used to go, fake it till you make it. Put a smile on your face whether you mean it or not. We mentioned last week, maybe your situation isn't changing because you're harboring bitterness. Maybe you've already judged and tried and ruled and are ready to execute. God is trying to say to us, let's get real with ourselves before we can be real with anybody else. Let's get real with Him before we can be real with anybody else. It's that simple. That's what God wanted me to tell you tonight. I've issued you the challenge, and I hope that you'll go study those three chapters. Get everything that Jesus usually spoke in parables, normally short, to the point. I guess, like cowboys, those Jews didn't have a very long attention span. But this sermon covers three chapters. And you need to delve off into it with a teachable spirit and a hearing ear to hear what God would speak to you. Read a while. Sit back. Meditate. Think about what you read. Get you a commentary. Help you understand it. Get a translation of the Bible that you can understand, whether it's the Message or the New King James or whatever, but get something that you can understand, because I'm telling you, you have got to get this message of the Sermon on the Mount down in your heart. Not in your head, in your heart, so that you can be changed, so that you can be like these disciples that learned to embrace it and to walk in it and became world changers. Would you bow your heads?